I always start out with this screen when I present on NJVid because it started out as a grant from the Institute for Museum and Library Services. We got about $1 million to begin. And what we were doing was creating a statewide digital video portal and repository. And it seemed like such a neat idea at the beginning. And you know what it's really turned out to be? But it's a lot of work. The beauty of this is that it's we have a lot of partners involved. The Rutgers and William Patterson University, we basically kind of wrote the grant and we took the lead on making sure that it happened. Rutgers did a lot of the development work. NJ EdgeNet is our technology consortium. Do you guys have a technology consortium in your states? Someone who sort of brings together all the technology and reduces the costs of it? That's a great. It's really been wonderful in New Jersey because of that. And then New Jersey Digital Highway, which is was the first repository that was built with another IMLS grant. And what we wanted to do was build upon their infrastructure and take their what they've done and sort of replicate it as we built ours. And then VAIL, which is the Virtual Academic Library Environment of New Jersey, it's the consortium that actually negotiates the pricing for online databases, and now they're negotiating the pricing for videos, for media. They have a VAIL Digital Media Committee. So it's sort of like everybody has their role to play, but it's been, if there's a couple of takeaways that I'd like you to leave with from this session, and one of them is if you don't have a virtual academic library environment, some kind of consortium where you get together and you really negotiate the costs of your media down, because the vendors are very willing to talk to you because they're in the transitional phase, and I see one of our vendors here today too. So it's really that's a great takeaway. So here are your collaborative partners that were came together to put this digital video portal and repository for the entire state together, for all of the institutions. So, you know, obviously these are the reasons why we did it. Digital video is one of the ways to reach our students. YouTube explosion shows you that, if nothing else. But it really is something that they relate to. They're much more visual than they are ready to read something nowadays. However, it was a big thing for us to really take on doing this on a statewide basis. But just like it says here, that it's really something that the smaller institutions weren't really able to take on upon themselves. So maybe a larger institution can afford this, but the smaller institutions can't. So really, let me get rid of this guy here. Whoops. Oh, all right. Sorry about that. All right, so the demand for streaming video, as you all know, has grown. And the students really don't want to have to come to the library anymore. I don't know how many of you have a decent media collection. Do you have a fairly decent? And the problem is, of course, you've already paid for that content, but you don't want to have to pay for it again, the streaming rights. Okay, so if you can go the extra distance and pay for the streaming rights, then what guarantee do you have later that they won't come back and, you know, when it needs to be transcoded again, say, oh, pay for it again. So one of the basic things that we do is we have been purchasing in perpetuity. So the licensing is all done pretty much in perpetuity. So really, all of these things, the fact that the students want those videos easily available to them within their course management systems, that you want some kind of ability to share resources between institutions, and that's another part of this grant that we built in. And it's all led to a transition from the physical collection of media to a service-based model where you can, to both licensed and non-licensed videos. So that's why we set up three different kinds of collections. The first one was what we call locally owned videos. And these are the videos that are on our commons, okay? So the commons, all that means is there's no restricted access. We spent the entire first year of the grant going over all the copyright issues when you're putting up video that's available to the world. So we really feel we've honed that down, and there's a ton of documents on our website that I can show you later if you would like to see it. But we basically built out related rights guidance. We built out guidance for determining whether you actually have the copyright to allow NJVID to stream it, and so on and so forth. So we really took care of that and felt really good about it. So this is things like we have a lot of we have some Holocaust histories. We have some local New Jersey type of videos, the kinds of things that you really want to preserve and have for a long, long time. And by the way, preservation was one of our really first ideas, because that's, you don't have preservation with something like YouTube or iTunes University. So how do you, when you have something really valuable and you want to preserve it, how do you make sure that you're going to? So we built preservation into the way we handle our videos, and I'll explain more about that in a little bit. Okay, commercial videos is another thing that we want to be able to preserve. And this, of course, are your commercial video vendors. And for instance, at William Patterson, we have a fairly large commercial video collection. We license a fair number of videos, and our faculty love it. Our students love it even more, especially when it's streaming. So as soon as we moved from the model of the commons to commercial video, obviously, you have to build in authentication and authorization. So what we did was we use a middleware program called Shibboleth. Anybody heard of that? Good, good. Okay, so Shibboleth allows authentication and authorization within our system. And it also allows for institutions to share resources. So it's a step beyond what just NJVID offers. The third collection, which we haven't launched yet, the first two are launched. The third one we're in the process of doing right now, and it's going to be launched in November at the NJ Edge annual conference. And learning on demand is more like what some of you may know as lecture capture, or where the professors record their lectures, or where students record things and they want to share them in the class. So the other thing that we're going to offer is this annotation tool in which you can create clips of the video. And then you can take the clips, because you may not want them to watch the whole video, just this piece and this piece to make your point. But you could take clips from different videos and put it into a playlist, and I'll talk a little bit more about that too. So that annotation tool is going to be a tremendous teaching and learning tool, because can you imagine you could actually, especially in an online class, have a dialogue about the videos that you're viewing, and that, you know, you could show certain clips and say this is important because, and that you have annotations to go with it. You make comments about it that go right along with it, and the students read that and they say, well, but what about this? This shows this, and you can start to have a whole dialogue about it. So that authentication and authorization that comes via Shibboleth is really key to the whole infrastructure of NJVID. The service really is only, it's based on the institution. So there's no identification that is particular to the institution. So personal credentials are not passed. And when the personal, in order for that to happen, you need to have what we call a federated identity management. So it's got to be a trust. And we developed NJ Trust to accommodate that. So your key concepts are these, very simply, that you want to make sure that they're authenticated and authorized, that there's policy, there's governments, and again, that comes from the Federation. So we built NJ Trust. NJ Trust, we currently have 12 institutions of our 50, we're growing, and we have a website to assist them, and I'm going to show you that real fast. It really doesn't require a lot. It requires that they either shibbolize a server, And by the way, shibboleth is my verb. It's just like Google became a verb. Well, I turned shibboleth into a verb too. Because, you know, how do you explain? You have to put shibboleth on this server, so you shibboleth it. Okay, so you either shibboleth a server at your local institution. And we did it ours using VM, so it didn't even take up a whole server, okay? The resources are not large. It does require the IT folk to jump in and help out here, okay? Once that's shibboleth, then it just sends the member at williampatterson.edu credential over to the shibboleth server at NJ Edge, and it says, okay, you can come in now and view all the videos that you at William Patterson University are licensed to view, including, of course, the commons, because that's available for everybody. So, the biggest thing is my point before about maintaining the user privacy. No personal credentials get passed. And again, it's inter-institutional. So once all those members, all those institution members in that trust are now able to share other resources. So we're looking forward to the future of when we might use Olay, Open Library Environment, that's being developed as we speak. And already the trust is in place to share those resources for interlibrary loan and so on and so forth. So this is kind of how the Trust Federation works. You can have University A and the Library B. And by the way, we have museums and municipal libraries and K-12 members who are part of NJVIT, okay? So a lot of them participated as alpha implementers in testing this and in contributing to our content. But the main thing is that there's a trust fabric set up between them, and you can see that in the future you're going to be able to share research, access to journals, so forth, that are authenticated and authorized. So NJVID, the video part of it, is really just one of the first services of this federation. So a really good thing came out of building this digital video portal and repository. And the licensed commercial videos, as well as learning on demand, are the ones that are really going to require the A&A. Learning on demand would probably be the faculty member would only want his class to see it. So authentication and authorization is going to be required there. He could publish it on the World Wide Web through the Commons if he wanted. Some faculty aren't quite as open to the idea of open learning initiative as others, so it's a slow process. There's another way that you can participate in the federation with Shibboleth, and that is if you use what we call a centralized LDAP service. So NJ Edge becomes the centralized LDAP, and you just send your membership directory to them. So this works well for K-12 libraries or those smaller institutions that may not be able to shibboleth a server. And again, this just shows you how it works, where they go out to the service provider and then back to the central shibboleth IDP, a statewide LDAP, which is at NJ Edge. There are other federations. How many of you have heard of In Common? Right. In Common charges quite a bit to join. So that's another reason that we didn't want to we could have used In Commons, but instead of using them, we said we'll create our own, and that way we won't have to charge our members. So it really worked out well. And then, of course, we have all of these. We have training sessions. A lot of the instructions are up there, and there's a lot of support, because it's just like with any kind of open source. Because that's what this is. Everything that we're using is open source and available for you folks if you really, you know, want to, if you think this is a direction you would like your own institutions to move in. So, give you an idea of the software. As you can see, a lot of this stuff is developed in-house. Rutgers did a lot of the development. I really have to give them kudos. They've also already published the workflow management system, which is the at the bottom there, the digital asset management system. That is available on the web now. So that they released last July, I believe it was. But your search engine is Amberfish, and we use just the regular PHP and MySQL for your application's web interface. The important thing here is to notice the persistent URL is available. That persistent URL is something that you can then take and put into your local OPAC, into the MARC records in your local OPAC. Okay, so that's really nice, and you don't have to worry about that going away. The streaming server that we started out with was a Darwin Apple server, but we've decided we've moved from that, and we're now using a Wowza Flash server because we wanted to move away from using Flash as a progressive download to Flash streaming. Our streaming is H.264. And then Fedora is the repository. How many of you have heard of Fedora? Oh, good. Excellent. So you know that this is a very robust repository architecture. And that stands for Federated Open Repository Architecture. This is why we really wanted to use Fedora, because it allows us to preserve the digital objects. And I mentioned to you before about how our emphasis was on preservation, for especially for the Commons videos, which are many are historical. Many are very historical in value. And for the commercial video, not so much for learning on demand. Learning on demand is probably going to be, you know, stored maybe for a semester and used for that semester, but not necessarily used over and over and over again. But the ones that we want to preserve are going to be stored in a large archival format, as uncompressed as possible, AVI or MPEG-4 or something that is as uncompressed as possible. And that goes into the dark archive. And then, because we have licensing in perpetuity, because for the commercial video, because the commons we have been granted the right to transcode in, again and again, we... Okay, right now, H.264 and Flash are good. You know, they've been good for a while. But who knows what's around the corner? Some new presentation format could come right around the corner. And it does. I mean, you remember Real Player, and then it was Windows Media Player, and then, I mean, it was really crazy. And it could turn that way again. So whatever the new flavor of the month is, we're going to be able to go back to the dark archive and retranscode it too. So we are really looking for 10 years out. The citations are going to be there for 10 years out. That's what we want. And again, learning on demand won't necessarily fall into that category, but the first two collections do. So Fedora provides us with an event base, so the video object is linked in time with certain events. So you can link transcripts to it, or you could link other things, annotation, whatever that's appropriate to it. And again, this conforms with OAIS, which is the Open Archives Information System. So what that gives us is the ability to create an OAIS URL, and we can share that with other repositories, and you can harvest the metadata from this repository. So you can search across. And what we really, our ultimate goal is to be able to search across a federation of Fedora repositories. And JDH, for instance, is a Fedora repository. So the digital asset management system I mentioned before, it's an open source system called the Workflow Management System, and it allows for the cataloging. But the cataloging doesn't have to take place at the same time you're busy transcoding and ingesting the object. So it really means that you can have a distributed model of cataloging. Institution A can be cataloging a particular video that's residing at NJVID. And if this other institution is also going to be using that video object, they don't have to recatalog it. Shared cataloging. That's a real advantage. And because it's all done over the internet too, so it's easy. Basically, you log in, and I'm just showing you some of the screens that come up. They're not beautiful screens. This is an open source system, as I mentioned before. But they get the job done. And almost anything that you could possibly want in terms of your metadata record can be produced here. Now, we broke it down to about 10 main items for most video objects, but you can enhance. You can get even more. And the MARC records that are available to you from this are then exportable. So you don't have to redo the MARC record to put it into your OPAC. Okay, so notice at the top, you have descriptive, technical, source, and rights. All of that is kept. All of that information is actually kept with the digital video object. Having the technical metadata is part of what enables us to go back, because we know how it was transcoded the first time, when it was first created, and so forth, and then we can transcode it the second time with that information involved. And the rights metadata, well, that's critical, because you want to know who has the right, who has the access to any video that you have stored in there. So, what is built into the digital video object is what we call an XACMEL policy. And if you notice in there, student attribute value, that means the students at this particular institution can view this video. So it has to have that, it's tied in with Shibboleth. And that was one of the big things that we did. That was one of the really big breakthroughs, was to tie in the workflow management system with Shibboleth so that we were able to really achieve that authentication and authorization. And then, of course, you have your front end, which is the NJVID website. It's a browsing and search portal, and you can see all your videos. But like I said, we wanted to make this accessible not just by NJVID's portal, because you know you don't always want your students to have to go away. You want them to probably go through your OPAC or through some kind of website that you have at your location. After year two, after we launched the Commons and we were just about to launch commercial video, we decided we need to get some feedback. So we did an evaluation survey, and we got some really good information back. We did find that a lot of the people are just visiting it 2 to 5 times. Some of them had just made their first visit. This was right after the really true launch. But it was really good to know that most of them were really looking just for browsing. Not everybody has a specific video that they're looking for. And how we could browse by. You can browse it by subject, by contributing organization. The display, we got a lot of feedback on that and actually built that back into the website. And it was changed subsequent to the first launch and the first information. And then we got some more specific feedback that we also built into NJVID and have corrected since. When we just went with our commercial video collection, there was a lot of preparation work, because it wasn't just, okay, now create the digital video object, put it in there, and present it. Now we had to do the Shibboleth. We had to test that. We had to make sure that it worked for authentication and authorization. And we had to take our first commercial video vendor and really get all of those objects into the repository. So we started out with just 25 titles from FMG. But before we could even do that, we had to get a deposit agreement set up between the commercial video vendor. The deposit agreement for the Commons is available on the website, and much of the Creative Commons licensing and that kind of terminology is built into that, okay? But NJVID is not the licensee of any of this content. The institution has the copyright. The institution is the licensee. We're simply the delivery service. So when we formulated our deposit agreement with the video vendors, it was much simpler. And it was just basically the video vendor gives us the right to deposit, to transcode, and to distribute their video. So we got that out of the way. And then we started to get down to, well, really, what are the benefits of this collection? Again, no need for physical acquisitions. Now, you'll want to keep maybe a DVD copy in your media libraries, but it really means that you don't have to keep 10 copies, right? Because you send them to streaming if you have too many. The shared cataloging that I mentioned before, you don't have to recatalog something that's already been cataloged. The user access, they don't have to come to the library. As much as you who work in the libraries really want the students to come to the library, they don't always make it there. So you really need to be able to stream it to them anywhere, anytime, any place. And they can get it at home. Now, the online access to some vendor collections, we're in negotiations with Bullfrog and Icarus and Fanlight. They don't have a server somewhere that's streaming video. Others, like Intellicom and FMG, they have a server. So you can go there and you can log in there and get their streaming video. But you don't have to have all these different vendors in different places. They're all in one place in your library collection. I'll show you that how that works. And they just sign in once, and they're able to get into them all. Okay? And then again, just think about it. It's an overall reduction in staff workload and time spent completely. The other thing is, because we're getting these in perpetuity, sometimes the video vendor no longer has a right to, you know, distribute that from the producer of the video. But because you have the right in perpetuity, you can continue, NJVID can continue to stream it. So we're actually really protecting ourselves from having to pay for that content over and over again. So Films Media Group was the first one that we went with. They're probably because they're, you know, most well known and very ubiquitous, but they have a huge amount, and they also have learning objects that we wanted to work with. We wanted to see how that would play out. So we did all this, and we started out with 8 participating institutions. Each of these institutions had to shibboleize so that they could participate. And then they were given, just for the beginning, free access to these 25 titles. And since then, they've all actually purchased these titles. They evaluated the usability, the whole authentication authorization process, the video playback, everything. And we worked out that workflow between NJVID and the collection managers, because there's a collection manager at each institution. And after FMG, worked with Biomedia, Intellicom, and a whole bunch of others that we're in negotiations with as well. We've already worked it out with Media Education Foundation. So this was all negotiated through that consortium I mentioned before, VAIL. They have a committee called the VAIL Digital Media Committee, and they are the ones who negotiated the rights, negotiated the costs, I'm sorry. And then the institutions all agreed, number of institutions agreed, and let me tell you something, tremendous savings for each institution. So that's a really important thing. If you can develop that within your state, that's excellent. We started out with this survey so that we could get their feedback on what they wanted, which vendors they wanted, what titles they were interested in, and what they anticipated. So we got commitment from them. Once we had that, then we were able to go ahead. And this is pretty much the whole timeline that we didn't even... Our grant started in October of 2007, but it really, because we had to work out all the copyright issues and everything else, and we really had to take our time with what hardware we wanted, because we went up to, we have Sun servers, we have 100 terabytes of storage, and so on and so forth. It took us a while to even get that hardware installed. Then we moved the software over, the workflow management system. And I have to tell you that once that happened, things really started moving quickly. So once you have your repository in place, then you can really start to rock and roll. We did our testing for commercial video. It worked really well. Our 25 titles last November, we have well over 800 titles at this point in time, and more are coming on board all the time. Now, Learning on Demand is the next group of the next collection, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But here are our current format specifications. They're pretty familiar to you, I'm sure. H.264 and Flash. But that's for non-restricted files. For our restricted files, we have to stick right now with the streaming protocol of MPEG-4 H.264. These have been our challenges. Managing the large video files, how to ingest, present, and preserve them. The annotations, our annotation tool isn't set for release until December, so I really don't have that concretely to show you, but I have a prototype to show you. The authentication and authorization, where we're trying to build up more members in NJ Trust. Like I said, we started out with 8, we now have 12. It's growing. And keeping ourselves going after the grant, because you know what? The grant ends very shortly. One of the things that we've developed is that we built into it a sustainability plan where NJ Edge already has 52 members. So they will share the costs. It'll be broken out and amongst them. So we will be able to keep ourselves going. And each institution will be able to always have a say in what is happening with NJVid. So what's next? Learning on Demand. This is a quick upload of videos from your local computer, and it allows the institutions just handle it locally. And so if a local collection manager wanted to, they could say, oh, this faculty member's really good. He knows what he's doing. He could upload it. It's a very YouTube-like interface. So that is, and it'll accept content directly from some of your lecture capture systems, such as Camtasia Relay and Echo 360. So you have your super collection manager, which is part of NJVid. And that person has actually been cataloging all the commercial, all the preservation kind of stuff. But your local institutional collection manager can catalog certain special titles that you have if you want to maintain that control. It's that nobody has to do this for you, you know. And then you have your Learning on Demand user, who, if the ICM approves it, then the user can upload it. That means that students will also be able to upload. So you can start that dialogue that I talked about before. You will need Shibboleth for authentication and authorization. And then the way they're going to be uploaded is that they're going to have labels so that you can make it either public or private. If it's private, only you have access to it. You, the faculty member, and then you've got your URL and you can put it into your course capture system. If you make it public, then it goes on the commons and all the world can see it. So the faculty member can share if he or she wants to, or he could use the shibboleth so that, let's say, he wants a member from another institution to have access. You know, sometimes it's really hard to get that guest access all the time. Okay, and just to give you an idea, this is what it looks like. We already have this on the test server right now of the upload. You basically click the button to upload. You have a few drop-down menus. Like I said, it's very similar to YouTube. How many have actually loaded onto YouTube? A few, yeah. I loaded my video from Costa Rica. My daughter videoed me on the zip lining thing, and I'm screaming the entire way. It's the only thing that's up there. So, entitled Mom Seeks Her Death. But anyway, so that was my venture with YouTube. What I like about NJVid, in all honesty, is that its whole mission is education. And everything that's in here, the commercial video is all educational. The commons videos are all educational. The learning on demand will be educational. And we really conscientiously adhere to copyright. So it's not hit or miss the way it is with a lot of the other methods of uploading video. So I'm just going to quickly go through this and talk a little bit more. One of the things in this coming up now is that we're going to have website branding. Because I mentioned to you, you don't always want your students or your faculty to have to go to the NJVID site. You might want that, you probably want to keep them on your site. You want that branding. It's your organization. So we're going to be able to have these templates for each institution. So for instance, Cheng Library is William Patterson. And this is what it's going to look like for William Patterson. Custom templates for Montclair, for Kane. The annotations that are also coming are going to allow you to create video clips with start points and end points, which is one of the reasons the commercial video vendors allowed us to make annotations of their video, because it's not really affecting in any way, shape, or form. It's not a remix, it's nothing like that, of their original video. So what you can do, then the student can really jump around to these different segments. And you can have that additional descriptive information. So this is what the prototype looks like. It's going to have that large section in the middle is where you're going to drag and drop. So for instance, here's the hidden child. You just drag and drop it over into the thumbnail into the workspace to create the annotation. And once it's in there, it's kind of, you can start clicking on your begin point, your end point, and you can save each of those clips with notes. And you can have multiple annotations in the timeline. You're not stuck with just one. And notice here also, you can go and get other videos and put it into the playlist below so that you, after a while, can have a stream of clips that you want your students to view and comment on and learn from. And remember, the students can do this also so they can send it right back to you. So these are the links from all the things that I've been mentioning, from Shibboleth, from Fedora, from NJVID. Now, very quickly, because we just have a little bit more time, I'm going to take you to the actual website and show you what I've been talking about. Oop, doesn't want to let me go there. So this is basically the website, and as you can see on the right-hand side, you can browse the collections, or you can browse by subject. I can also do an advanced search right here. So I could go directly to my William Patterson University collection. If I say, I'm from William Patterson, I want to see what's there. And I'm just going to show you in the drop-down here, you can have a number of different collections. So for instance, Cheng Library Collection has all of our commercial videos because they're the ones who buy them and house them and so forth. But the music department creates a tremendous number of videos that they want to upload and have their students see. So that's under their collection. And they can say to their students, just look in the music department collection. It's really easy for them, okay? And the same goes for university events, for the communication department, and so forth. The other thing I want to show you is that you have the advanced search. So let's say I want to go in now and I want to search for something specific. I'm not just browsing. I need something on Going Green, okay? So I'm just going to, and I can search through all of the collections, check all. So I'm going to just type in the word green and hit search. And that's going to take me to a number of results, and I kind of scan them. Here's one on renewable energy. Here's some on green algae and so forth. Those are biomedia. But here's a perfect one. Going Green, Real World Solutions for the Environment. I teach environmental science. Okay, so I click on that, and here's where it comes back, and it tells me, please sign in to view protected content. So I know that not everything is available, okay? I can't get in. This is where that authentication and authorization kicks in. And all I have to do is sign in, click on it, and choose my institution. I'm from William Patterson University, here's Shibboleth. Sign in with my Net ID. I don't have to remember any new logons or passwords. I really appreciate that. I don't know if you guys, I have too many passwords, and you know I actually have a silly little piece of paper where I have my logons and my passwords. Very low tech, but you know, too many passwords. Okay, so I'm going to log in.
Tonight, with energy costs going sky high and concern about the environment on the rise, the business of green building is, to use a pun, growing. As ABC's Gigi Stone reports, tonight people are going green because it's good for the environment and good for the bottom line.
There's okay. Some of the newest, most extravagant...
We don't have to watch the whole video. I just wanted you to get an idea of the quality of the video, how easily it is to access the video, even when it's protected content. Obviously, for the comments, you just click on the video and it opens right up. So the last thing I just kind of want to leave you with is take a look at the record on the right. The video description has the full information that you might need. It has the rights. It has the persistent URL. You have the MARC record. But you also have the full record. And this is what I was trying to say before about Fedora Repository. It enables you to store all this information and the workflow management system. Dublin Core record, mods record, the rights record, and the technical record. So all of that is all that information that went into the workflow management system is actually accessible by anyone who, you know, wants that information. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I would invite all of you
tonight
to
energy
come in.
Costs going sky high
to come in and browse around anytime you want. But you're only going to be able to see the comments videos. So join NJ Trust if you'd like to see a few more of them. Are there any questions? Yes. To answer your question, NJVID was originally organized for the state of New Jersey. We get this question a lot as I show it to people. And we actually are right now talking to a group, a consortium in Pennsylvania called LVAIC, Lehigh Valley Association of Independent Colleges. And they are interested in joining NJ Trust. No, it's not a problem. It's just a question of setting it up. We sort of were focused on New Jersey to begin with, and so it's a question of whether or not an agreement can be reached. But because of obviously there's a cost involved, and maybe we would charge NJ Edge members less than we might charge outside members a little bit less, kind of thing. Those details haven't been worked out. But is it physically doable? Yes, because as far as the content goes, you would still be licensing the commercial video content. Any commons content you'll put up there, and learning on demand is yours. Remember, all of this is your content.
And when you say commercial content, you're not really referring to, or maybe you are, it doesn't seem like you're referring to, you know, Hollywood videos.
Aha, good question. Now, feature films are kind of another animal altogether. So until we can work out some deal maybe with Swank, which I would like to try and work on, but they're harder to work with. It doesn't include feature films. But all of the educational, like we have a vendor right here in Telecom, and Telecom's objects are going to go up very shortly, because we're almost ready to put those up. So we have Media Education Foundation, we have Films Media Group, and we have Biomedia, and more is coming.
Now, just one final question.
No, people don't need internet two connections, and these are really the QuickTime format is I think it was around 803 kilobits per second, so that one's a little higher. The Flash is your lower common denominator, so Flash, you know, is pretty viewable. That's what Flash is, what YouTube uses, so it's fairly viewable. The only caveat, in all honesty, that I'm going to give you is on your campuses, because your local area network of the campus, how many people are on that network at the same time, can really make a difference in whether or not you wind up buffering. because I've had that happen on my campus when, you know, and I go home and I'm viewing it perfectly because I'm using my own ISP as opposed to the campus ISP that everybody's using at the moment. So sometimes you do have that issue. But that you're going to have with any digital video issue. No, actually, right now that's by putting it in the course, but that's coming. Those attributes will be part of Shibboleth.
Yeah.
Right. That is going to have to be worked out with each individual institution. But so right now it's just put it into the course management system.
Did you have to Shibboleth our own student server?
Actually, they set up a separate Shibboleth server because they're the head server. So, on my local campus, NJ Edge did, on my local campus, we did not have to shibbolize any kind of streaming server because we're not doing the streaming. We just had we did a VM, we shibbolized one server just for, it just passes the credential on.
Didn't someone look just the right URL?
That's what's at located at NJ Edge, and they actually, I believe they separated the, but it still interacts. I think they have a separate Shibboleth server as well as the streaming server, but yes, it interacts with each other, of course. You know what? NJ Edge would have to tell you specifically how it's set up. If you need to know that, I can pass you on to Sue J. Daniel, who has the details, the technical details. I'm sure Sue J. could answer that question better for you than I could, because they looked into the different, yeah. I'm sorry, though. I'm not, I know more about it from the library and the instructional technology end, but I will be happy to give you Sue J.'s, he'll take the questions if you would like specific answers for that, okay? He's the chief video engineer at NJ Edge, so.
To their users,
yes.
Can I go in NJ Edge, or do they have to have
that? No, because they're saying that we have checked the copyright. This is what we feel we have right to do, and therefore we can put it up here. And you can make it available only to my users, because then it'll be by institution. Then you would set it up as restricted content to the institution. We, FMG started out by giving us like DVDs and things, so we did have to transcode. But I believe that, for instance, Intellicom is giving us MPEG. Right. They already provided it to us. So that helps to save a lot of the time. Yeah, definitely. But having that, I mean, as far as the transcoding, originally for the Commons, we were doing pneumatic tapes, VHS tapes. You know, this is a real way to preserve a lot of the collections, and people don't want to, especially once they've cleared their rights, they don't want to lose that. So, anything else? Well, thank you very much. And make sure you take one of these brochures if you don't have one already. I sort of just put them out on the chair, so grab one before you go. Thanks.